Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to On Screen Live. My name is Andrew Jupiter, and this is our show for, oh my goodness, Monday, the 7th of April, if you can even believe it. We got a lot to get to today, so I'm just going to bring these dudes right in. First up, you know him, you love him, Mr. Steven Sadek.
I am Steve. Huh? Come on. Yeah! Who's losing it? Who's losing it right now? Yeah!
Our screening did not give a shit that much.
No. It's just the Monty Python joke. There are some who would call me Tim.
Fair enough. I did not get that reference. I'm not a big Python guy. But yeah, we'll talk about that more. Steve's referencing Minecraft in case anyone wasn't following along. But next up, you know him, you love him, Mr. Eric Siska.
I'm still cheering for Steve from Minecraft. I didn't see the movie. But it sounds great. So Steve is a character in Minecraft. Huh?
As it turns out, we didn't know that.
The video game as well has got a Steve fella?
Yes, there is a Steve. Apparently, he's the lead character. I had no idea.
Wow.
There you go. Speaking of lead characters, he's the lead character in his own story. You know him, you love him, Mr. Chris Cavan.
I would like to think I'm more of the zombie boy on the chicken.
Ooh, who, I like that. Yeah.
I like it. Gnashing of teeth, generally making...
Gnashing of teeth!
Yeah.
Round of applause for teeth gnashing.
Trying to kill Jason Momoa, as I always am. You know, these things happen.
Someone coming in real hot. He's the character in Minecraft, goddammit!
Well, I thought that was an open world. I didn't know that there was there were specific characters in the game.
That's kind of the thing.
No, but hang on, then someone else is coming in hot. He's more just the default skin, goddammit!
Yeah.
It's true.
I'm arguing about this one.
Yeah, I mean, like, for me, for people my age who are a million years old, it's like if there was a Mario Paint movie. You know what I mean? It's like,
that's,
I don't know.
Awesome.
I just use it to paint stuff.
Yeah. Oh. I don't get it. I've played it a little bit with my niece, and I got, like, I was like, oh, I get the digging things. I understand that whole, all that, the holes and everything. Sure, but, like, everything else, I'm like, I don't know. Zombies, sure.
Yeah, well, we got to save the juice. We're talking about the movie.
Speaking of Mario Paint, though, I mean, all we got, we could adapt Luigi Paint. That happened a few months ago. Don't think too much about it. Let's move on.
I'm thinking about it.
Sure, yeah. That joke worked.
You painted the sidewalk.
Graffiti.
Exactly.
There, I see what you're saying.
He's like Muse on Daredevil.
Yes.
Yeah, he is like Muse, actually. Welcome to the chat. Tim Lamb, I'm So Rachel, our buddy, of course, Felipe Sobrero, Busiris87, Rod Zebs, 364, Rock and Roll Toast, E. Simon Says 14. Glad a lot of folks were responding well over the weekend, guys. You probably didn't even notice I did this, but did a little Saturday morning chat on our Patreon, talking to people. It was a lot of fun. This chat feature. Just want to say, just a quick correction here. Daniel chimes in. Highly recommend the Patreon chats they're hosting on Saturday mornings now. That was a one-time thing to see when we'll do it again, Daniel. So don't go spreading misinformation here, man. Others will happen, but it's not a every Saturday morning thing by any stretch of the imagination.
But look at that. That's another Patreon reward. One day I'll be in there. ASL. Yeah, what's your age, sex, and location?
Yes. So if you want to be creeped out, we have the stuff for you. We have it here for you if you want it.
Creep you right out, dude. Creep you right out.
A lot of those Saturday morning shows will depend on Friday nights beforehand. That's usually the thing that usually will tell
you. That's the picks question mark yes. tier of the of Patreon. Yeah,
that's right.
We're rolling it out, and it's real creepy.
Speaking of real creepy, here's some top of the box office real quick to see if we can get any of these, you creeps. 2003. I think we may have done this one a couple weeks ago, which shows the staying power of this movie in theaters. A single-ish location film featuring a recent awesome Batman villain actor.
Wow. Recent awesome-ish Batman villain actor.
2003.
Yep. Thriller.
We just sort of did on the show is what you're saying.
I think this came up in a top of the box office.
Secret Window.
Okay.
I think the chat might have gotten it.
It is Secret Window. Yeah, that's what it is.
No, it's Phone Booth.
Phone Booth.
Yes,
I couldn't remember if we got it or not. It was either Phone Booth or maybe we were talking cellular recently.
I think we were talking about cellular.
Was it cellular? Okay, see, fucking phone movies from the aughts, man. You don't know, but that
I liked Phone Booth when it came out. I felt like I was alone on that at the time.
It's a good movie.
From the jump on Phone Booth, I will say. Fun movie. 2007, top of the box office this day. Not a fun movie. It was a twofer here, comedic duo of Will Ferrell and a cohort of the director of the Minecraft movie.
Blades of Glory.
That is correct.
Ooh, wow.
That is correct. Still dodged this one.
The John Heater salad days.
Yep. I thought it was fine. I thought it was all right. I ended up watched it with, I think, my in-laws or something, and it pleased the crowd, and that's what I needed at the time. So
absolutely,
there you go,
dude.
Looking for one of those movies. Yeah,
that's how I watched the Lego movie. I was like, let's put something on.
Exactly.
Top of the box office, 2009. This was the fourth entry in a very popular franchise. This was the one that sort of shifted things into a different gear, you might say.
Is it Rogue Nation? Mission Impossible.
It is Fast and Furious. The one where the franchise basically became the full-on action franchise that it is today.
Got it.
All right, one more. Top of the box office, 1997. One of the last massive movies from arguably the biggest comedy star of the 1990s.
Big Mama's House. It's massive.
Liar, liar.
There you go.
She's a big fat
liar,
lady.
Liar.
Fat suit. She's a big mama.
I see.
That's very funny. I like it when I see a big fat lady.
Well, what's funny about those movies is that it went from Big Mama's House to just Big Mamas.
Yeah, so
that's how they are now referred to. Is that everything after the first one are just the Big Mamas?
Mama's House 2 was just Big Mama's House.
Wasn't actually
100% was.
Okay,
there was because a third.
There was a third and a fourth.
No,
what four no, there wasn't. Big Mama's houses?
You got four Big Mamas over there, Chris.
You know, if you get four big mama houses in Monopoly, you get a hotel, Paul. Hotel Monopoly jokes.
Because you're thinking big mama's colon like father like son.
Yes, that's the one.
That's
which is the third Big Mama's House movie.
Should it be like? Why not do like Big Mama, like Big Daughter? That'd be cool.
That's a little
sense.
too wordy, I guess, probably, Eric.
But Chris, you are wrong. There are no more Big Mama's House movies.
I swore they did like a National Lampoon's thing where it's like his son is now the Big Mama.
That's what fucking like father like son is.
Oh, and it's just once? Oh, well.
Well, I don't think people were really clamoring for non-Martin Lawrence Big Mama's House, dude.
I can't wait for Big Mama's band camp to happen.
That's what I assumed. That we were doing a band camp type thing.
Yes.
No. We should have, though. We really should have. All right. Interesting weekend at the box office. We'll check it out in a segment we like to call Highest Gross. All right, some interesting stuff here and some holdovers, of course. But first up, in at five, it was nice to see some horror sticking around the box office. Woman in the Yard in week two is a 52% drop, which is not half bad. We're looking at a $12 million budget, $17 million total. This one's just all right, man.
I'm shocked.
This one is just all right.
I'm genuinely shocked it's still here. I thought this one would drop like a complete rock in the ocean.
Well, I'm pitching right now because it's such a hit. I was going to make, I'm going to call Keenan Ivory Wayans and get Big Mama's Blumhouse going.
Oh, yeah.
A parody film. See.
Oh, sure. Sure.
You've had Blumhouse. Scary Movie meet Scary Mama.
But then you'd also have to get Martin. I feel like getting the Wayans involved is not what you want. Martin Lawrence, man. You can't have Big Mama without Martin Lawrence.
No, it's a parody, understand. So you would
right.
parody
oh,
Big Mama.
Send up. Oh, yes. Oh, mm-hmm. I see. So sending up a comedy inside a horror. So, oh, wow. You're really thinking like a Russian nesting doll of ideas there.
And none of them are good.
Coming in at number four, speaking of none of them were good, Snow White.
Oh, boy.
Still farting around till it inevitably dies a cold death on Disney Plus. But right now, another 6.1 million in week three. This thing is fucking dead, folks. I mean, it may not even hit $100 million. It's at $77 million domestically right now. May not hit 100.
It's that evil Rachel Zegler, you know?
Yeah, that's what did it.
That's what did it, is the evil Rachel Zegler is finally.
Sure.
I've been noticing young people are having thoughts more and more lately, and I
hate
like it.
That. Yes. Yeah. By the way, if Rachel Zegler was in the Minecraft movie, it would have made just as much money, just an FYI.
Oh, yeah.
Just a quick FYI.
You mean as much as Minecraft, not as much as Snow White. Yeah.
No, yes, exactly. It would have made exactly as, it would not have affected the box office.
No, not at all.
My kingdom to have the acting talent of Rachel Zegler in the Minecraft movie. Man, could she have played that fucking sister? Holy shit. Anyway, we'll get to that. In a minute, we're chomping at the bit here, I know. Here we go. Number three, The Chosen, The Last Supper. Finally. But get this shit. Well, part two, motherfucker. Yeah,
Whoa.
Yeah, you bet your fat ass it's episodes 3 through 5.
He returned somehow, huh?
Dude, it's this, and then next week there's a third part with the final two episodes.
What the hell happens there? What?
Well, I mean, I can tell you. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Is that the nail stuff?
Yeah.
Is that the... They get the 9-inch nails out.
You're probably. I would wager episode 5 here. So you went to the theater. You saw 3 through 5. 5 ends with the dude like, get the hammer.
Or yeah.
A lot of time devoted to the beginning of this Jesus guy. How about what's going on lately? You don't hear about that too much.
No, you don't. I do think we should see what's going on behind the rock. When he goes behind the rock, we should. you should dare to show us what happens over those 3 days.
But that's like going backstage at a David Copperfield show. A good magician never shows his tricks.
That's also very true. That's very true. Also, I mean, I feel like the last two have to be like crucified, died, and was buried 3 days later, whatever it was, came out the tomb. I mean, what's left of the story after that? You know. You know, what are you going to do? Like a fucking Return of the Kings type ending? This Chosen's going to be ending?
Maybe we're leading to Jim Caviezel coming in at the last minute as Doubting Thomas.
What a flip.
Just get creative with it. This story's bored, old, and tired, okay? Like, how about Jesus walking into heaven being like, hey, Dad, what's up? And it's like a sitcom.
Oh, Eric, do you spell bored B-O-A-R-D? What with hammering and
Yes, the hammer board, not the disinterested board, the hammer board.
I mean, you know, for whatever it's worth, though, I mean, Jesus Christ, literally, $6.7 million. People are coming out. That's fine. Sure. Enjoy your Jesus show. That's totally fine with me.
That's $6.7 million of beats church. That's kind of what that is. Like
what if it was like going to church, but at the movies? Let's go see The Chosen.
So much.
They're not going to eat popcorn here. They're going to yell at me at church.
They yelled at me at church. It's very funny. My Jesus, Jason Statham, was still in at number two. For a working man, another $7.3 million, you know, it's fine for our guy. 53% drop, it's $44 million globally. It's okay. We, you know, this'll keep them fed until Beekeeper 2 comes out.
Mm-hmm. By the way, real quick, Daryl in the chat's thinking this through. Big Virgin Mary's house.
That, I like that.
Yes, I'm buying a ticket for that.
Isn't that just a church?
No, it's a barn or whatever. Right?
Okay.
Right? A manger, rather.
That was where Jesus was born. They didn't
live there?
I don't think they moved in there. What? Like the Fonz moving above the garage.
It's the mother of Christ, you see, but she's in a big old fat suit, so it's funny.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That'd be hilarious,
that's the
right?
pitch.
Yeah. It's the mother of Crisis, but she had to go undercover for some reason, so she's in a fat suit.
And she's in one of those tiny, like, mud houses people used to have in the BC times, and knocking over pots and pans and pots.
Right, mm-hmm. But then there's a fat suit, though, you see.
Yes.
In the mud house, there's a fat suit.
Well, yeah, she's in it, and she's in the house.
What's the back of the mud house? It's the back of the mud house. The good fat suits are in the back of the mud house.
She's eating cheese. Cheese it, you understand, and then she like tries to wipe her head with the Shroud of Turin. It's like, oh no.
Oh, that'd be great.
I got cheese dust all over the Shroud of Turin. That's a problem.
Rome gave us the aqueducts, the Cheez-Its.
Here we go. Review to come later in the show. But yes, Minecraft. All right, so keep in mind, Working Man was in number two at $7.3 million. Here you go. There's a number, $157 million.
It's huge.
Big boy numbers.
Big deal. Big that's a numbers. Big fucking deal. That's kids. Warner Brothers going, hey, we fucking did it with Barbie. We might do it again. This is just about Barbie's opening weekend. I think Barbie was like $162 million.
That's this is crazy. Because kids know what this is. You know what I mean? And kids want to see this.
Teenagers too.
As opposed to Snow White. Which their grandfather fucking was too old for. You know what I mean?
Like, yes, yeah.
Exactly. Like, their Gen X grandfather.
So you think this is going to, we're going to get a Fortnite movie, right? That's going to happen.
We are absolutely going to get a Fortnite movie.
Is Fortnite as popular as it once was, though? I feel like that has gone down where Minecraft is continuously a huge deal.
Yeah.
Like,
is it really?
Yes, it has been for a while.
The kids don't tell me.
Well, I have a niece, so I get to talk and discuss these things occasionally.
You know one. You got a little hack.
I do have a little
hack. Well, Chris, you know, it's funny. Until you said there's going to be a Fortnite movie, I realized up until right this second, in my head, I've just been conflating Minecraft and Fortnite as like the same big open world game.
Minecraft
I don't play.
Is a predecessor to Fortnite. Like lot of the things that happened in Minecraft were taken and made, quote unquote, better with Fortnite.
The chat is saying that Fortnite's pretty huge still. See this with like the new skins and whatever. It's like, oh, now Deadpool and now whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
G. Gordon Liddy is in fucking Fortnite this week.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, stuff like that. You know?
Holy shit. Did you download your C. Everett Koop skin yet for Fortnite?
If I could make G. Gordon Liddy like put the lighter under his hand in Fortnite, I'm playing.
Oh, sure, dude.
I'm playing.
Look at this, though. So 157 mil, like we said, 301 million globally. This has topped the opening of the Mario Brothers movie from last year. And there's no family-oriented films until Memorial Day with that Lilo and Stitch movie. This has so much runway to keep making money. It's ridiculous.
Well, unless we make a family film really fast and get it to market.
No, you guys, I'm sorry. You guys clearly didn't read the news right before we started here. They are releasing this week a Rachel Zegler-less cut of Snow White.
Yeah.
They're putting out they got back into the editing and they just took her out of every scene.
Christopher Plummer in there?
Yeah.
It's just called White. And somehow it still bombs.
Yeah,
the weird thing is it's got somebody was clamoring for more nightmare dwarves. That's what I want to see.
Yes.
Yeah.
More of those things. Skittering around.
You know who's going to be excited as shit? Those fucking weirdos that make those public domain horror movies, dude.
Can we get our hands on the dwarves?
Oh god. That's going to be disgusting.
It'll be called like Snow White and the Seven, but it'll be like the Seven from the Fincher movie. That's how you know this movie's going to be fucked up.
Or Snow White versus the Seven. And
I like that too.
Oh, and it's just, dude, they're called the Seven. Snow White versus the Seven.
They've got to be in the domain now. I mean, Snow White's, you know,
they've done Peter Pan. They are, as you've seen, done Popeye.
Yes.
Right. As Andrew will tell us when this dwarf murder movie comes out, because Andrew, you've been partaking. You've been watching. What was it? Goddamn honey. It's not Honey the Bear, is it? No, it's
Winnie the Pooh.
Blood and Honey.
And I watched Winnie the Pooh, Popeye. Blood and Honey. And I
and
watched
then you watched a Popeye, right?
One of three Popeye movies that are coming out this year. And the one I watched That's it's $5.99 I'll never get back, and I can't even fucking think of the name of it, honestly. It's like it's not Shiver Me Timbers, but it's some like bullshit kind of name.
Not good.
Blow the Man Down, maybe.
That's what I fucking thought it was, actually, too. Let me see. Come on, Letterboxd, do it.
This, I want to be while you're looking it up. I just want to be clear. Sure. No one told you to do this, right? There's no one told you to do this. We didn't agree to cover any of that. These are just
no.
Not a segment.
Let me tell you the origin story of it. All right, I met with some friends for dinner last Thursday night, and our one buddy is really into the movies that he has told me are contained inside what we're calling the Pooniverse.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
No.
The Poon advert? Wait, what?
I had the exact same reaction as you. I was like, Poon? Like Poon? Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, the ages are there. So Winnie the Pooh Niverse is what we're going with here. And he's telling me all about the Blood and Honey movies, the fucking Mickey Mouse movie. There is a Popeye one. But this, so I went looking. I was like, is there one of these? Turns out there's 3 Popeye movies, one of which I watched last weekend. It's called Shiver Me Timbers. I was right. Shiver Me Timbers.
Oh, you're right. Okay.
2005. It is a Z-grade horror movie, if you can ever believe it. The funniest thing is 100% Scottish production.
Ooh.
So you have nothing but hardcore Scottish accents doing their best to suppress that shit to play Americans. Oh, it's very funny.
That's terrible. I want a gritty origin story of Wimpy. That's what I want.
Yes.
Gritty and dark.
There's
probably dark is all get out.
It's probably in there, Eric. If they've taken all of the parts of that IP, I think they might have done it by now. There's 3 you said, Andrew?
There's 3. Another one is already out. And Eric, it was actually playing at our favorite bar in Austin, Casino El Camino, when we were there for South by. There's 3 of them. I'm not going to find the other ones right now and waste everybody's time. But we got 3 fucking Popeye movies out this year, folks. Like, it's outrageous. But anyway, I can see, yes, very easily
It's going to happen. It's all going to, because this is all, I'm going to blame this all on Terrifier, as you should. Because what they did is, Terrifier, it coasted on, we're going to do these crazy kills, and they're all going to be done, and it's going to look good. Like, it's going to look like old kills look. Like, it's going to be really gross, and it's all physical effects. So now, if you just add really gross kills with physical effects to IP that is free to take up, you can make a movie for cheap that's really gross that horror nuts will talk up, because they're like, you won't believe it. This woman gets her head split for 30 minutes. A woman's
that's
head split open.
That's what the Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey, that's exactly what it is. It's just Terrifier with like Winnie the Pooh characters, which is to say, like, Pooh is just played by a big fat guy with a fucking Pooh mask on. The movie just tells you that it's Winnie the Pooh.
So what's his motivation to do all this?
So Christopher Robin was friends with them, like the story goes, and then he went off to grow up and left them by their lonesome, and they got all mad, and like they vowed to never trust human beings again. And indeed, oh my God, they stopped speaking. They resigned themselves to stop speaking. And now, like, Christopher Robin comes back to show his fiance the 100-acre wood, and murder happens. That's literally the movie.
That's it.
Wonderful.
It's trash. You shouldn't waste your time with it.
If I live long enough, I'd like the human centipede to go into the public domain, and then I would make a good human centipede.
Maybe a
chamber drama, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, absolutely. Yeah, totally. Waiting for the centipede. It's just a couple of guys waiting to get stitched together. Maybe that's what it is, Steve. The anticipation of getting someone's mouth sewn onto your ass. That's what it is. That's what it is. Final thing I'll say about Minecraft before we get to the review later. This demographic, 78% were people aged 13 through 24. So take the idea of like those age people don't want to go to the theater anymore.
Yep.
Put it in your pocket and forget about it, because it's not true. You just need to give them a reason to do it. And here's a fucking reason. A thing that, like, this is what's fascinating. It's a movie that people went to the theater to see based off a thing that most people interact with when they're not playing it by watching YouTube videos of it.
Yeah.
So, like, you could even, you got over that hurdle and got people, young people, to the theater. You just got to give them a reason. And it wasn't fucking Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Sorry, everybody.
It would be like the Kai Cenat biopic. That's what will be the next one. Something like that. A YouTuber, some young YouTuber that everybody watches. He's a very, very famous YouTuber. I think something like that would probably be the next step if you're going away from video games eventually.
Well, let's not get nuts just yet, then. Let's get nuts this summer in England, everybody. We're going to Oxford in July to play the Oxford Comedy Festival. 3 nights, 6 shows. 1 show is already sold out. We're looking at you, Hellraiser. We love movies. I'm really, really excited for this, you guys. What about you? Are you guys excited?
Oh, yeah. I keep checking the news every day to make sure we're allowed to go to England, and it seems like we are, so that's cool. Let's keep that going.
A couple more months. Far,
so good.
Yeah. I got my visa all set. The crown approved of me. I'm so excited. I won't overstay my welcome. But we are also talking about Animation Damnation there, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yeah.
There's a Quantum of Solace episode we're doing there live. There's a Deep Glossary on Darth Vader.
Act Now Hellraiser already sold out. So if you were like, oh, shit, I can't wait to see that Hellraiser show, you've been sold out. But there's still so many great shows to see.
Exactly. The Nexus, we're doing a live Nexus for the first time, I believe. And a We Hate Movies episode on King Ralph. You got to be there for King Ralph. Bring That's some great. Burger King along with you.
Someone says, England is not Glasgow or Edinburgh Comedy Festival. You need to come up here. It's much better. Get us fucking booked in. What do you want me to do about it?
Scotland doesn't know who we are. Helpful. They don't know. They're not fans right now. So convert them, please.
Scotland doesn't, but Scotland Yard is just opening a file.
Absolutely.
Head over to our website, whmpodcast.com. Click on that tour page. You get all the ticketing information right there. And by the way, pick up some merch in the merch store. Y'all help us support the Center for Reproductive Rights. Each quarter of this year, we are donating everything we make from our merch store right over to those fine folks doing the good work, or at least trying to, until they're defunded or whatever the fuck. So while you can, anything you buy at our merch store, whatever we get from it, we're putting right over to those guys. Again, over on our website, whmpodcast.com. I don't know why I said it like a bad radio DJ.
Because it's fun to do.
It is pretty fun. .com. Yeah. Ooh.
Coming up after the break, trailer segment.
That's right. All right. Been a while since we've done trailer segment. Been a while. Mm-hmm. And we got two for you here. First up, very pumped for this one. Eric, you have the hoodie on by the soundtrack makers.
Right.
Nine Inch Nails.
So excited. I'm a huge Tron fan. I'm a fan of the Tron Legacy, the Daft Punk one. Yeah. And I know this one has Jared Leto in it, but if I can just, during the show and it relax and enjoy the visuals, I think I'm going to be happy. I saw this trailer already, and I'm happy with it thus far, so we'll see.
That's right. Folks at home, if you want to watch along with us, the links to both of the trailers we're talking about on this week's trailer segment are in the show notes, so go get those synced up if you want to watch along. And while you're there, give a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel, all that good stuff. You want to be notified, and you want to help us buck that algorithm, so be sure to give the thumbs up for this video. All right, fellas, you ready to do this? Tron Ares, this is the new one from Joaquin Renning. It's out wide the 10th of October of this year. All right, fellas, let's see here. Tron Ares in 3, 2, 1, go.
You know, I still have never seen Tron Legacy, FYI.
You should.
It's a fun
You guys loved it, and I just kind of never got to it.
We did a cabin cupcake for that one.
We did.
Oh, dude, forget about it.
Oh, and then did some mushrooms for that guy at another point later on. Yeah.
But look at this. I think they've got a really good angle for this one. Now, how do you evolve this? You take the game out of the game into the real world.
Oh, that's cool.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm looking for something. Which is cool because, like, it makes it feel Matrix-y, but, like, they're out of the Matrix doing stuff. Like,
yeah.
Pretty rad. Greta Lee, I like that.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
She's very good.
Was that a big Tron? I can't really make it out. They're like, oh my God, it's a big Tron.
Oh, it is. Yes.
Look at that.
Oh, my God. I'm so
excited. Nobody steps on a church in my town, Tron.
We're doing a lot of red in this one. I think the last one was blue.
Very blue, yep.
And the music, man. I'm so pumped. I'm also seeing them in September. I'm seeing Nine Inch Nails at the Barclays Center in September. I'm pumped.
Oh, dude, perfect lead into the movie.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, look at this.
Is Jeff Bridges around, or?
Yeah, we got his voice in here. Right there.
Because there's no going back. I think that's from Crazy Heart when the girl gets lost at the mall.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm so pumped for this.
That's pretty cool.
Hopefully, Jared Leto, not a single line in this. I know it's only a 90-second trailer, but if we could keep it a silent performance, I would love it.
That would be really nice. Dude, why the hell not? I have to say, glad to be proven wrong. I was like, from the jump when I heard about this, like, oh, great, now we're Disney's exploiting this guy. Got it. But this looks pretty cool, at least so far. So, and that Nine Inch Nails soundtrack. Ooh, boy.
I don't think anyone should go sober is my
you know. Oh, no.
They should hand out stuff at the shows. You
exactly.
Know?
All Tron movies, and yes, and all Nine Inch Nails show, and Daft Punk. I think all of them you should be a little not sober for, just a teeny bit.
And, you know, I think, you know, parents who, like, are our age or a little older who, like, you know, grew up on Tron, like Tron or whatever, maybe it's a parent's first screening. Do the old, like, oh, yeah, mom and dad got to see if you can see it, buddy, then we'll take you so you can go, like, get the babysitter, get real, like, fucked up. You're like, whatever. Mm-hmm. Go see it.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, all right, kids, like now I'll go see it with you and you can ruin it for me.
You know? You have to call the babysitter high off your face. You're going to need to stay with those kids all night long. I don't know where I am. We're drying out in a motel. I don't know where it is. Help us. Everything looks red and pixelated.
You're going to have to take the kids all night. I think we got sucked into the game.
Just tell me where the double tree is. The double tree that you are hanging out in. I don't know what that means.
You fucking wish I was a double tree. I'm at a King Court Motor Lodge, motherfucker.
Oh, at least where I know where that is. Jesus.
Honey, no, we're at the Red Roof Inn.
Oh, that's what that light is.
No, I'm in a Red Robin bathroom. What happened?
Oh, so that's how they make the burgers.
They just take in people fucked up off the street and grind them up into beef.
No, they're shit. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Red Robin.
Never been.
You're fine. We got another trailer here to get to you. This one, a little longer, just dropped this morning. Very excited about this. It's the new one from Wes Anderson. Focus Features was so excited to get the trailer out. They didn't have a fucking poster ready yet. So here you go. The Phoenician Scheme. The new one from Wes Anderson coming out just this May, as a matter of fact. Ooh. Limited on 5:30. Very, very excited. Has anyone not watched this in anticipation of this, or did we all?
I couldn't hold it. I had to watch it.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into this one. Folks at home, get ready to go here. All right. 3, 2, 1, go. Starting it right off like this, you need a slug at the beginning there. You can't just start it. It's so unprofessional.
I will say, mild critique of Wes Anderson and these trailers, is it's starting to feel a little like a Marvel movie where it's like, remember all the guys from the things?
Yeah, all your guys.
All our guys are here.
He's always been a big fan of having all of
this
crew.
By the guys, actors and actresses?
Yeah, but it gets a little... It feels like hammer dropping to be like, and Benedict Cumberbatch. And
sure.
His daughter Liesl, I like that.
I guess my note is less people in your movie, which I guess is not a good note.
No.
We're still looking. Well, this one actually looks to be entirely 1:6:6 aspect ratio.
Yeah.
It's a choice.
Yeah, we're still doing that.
I mean, you also can never go wrong with just his production design, these sets, the composition of the shots. I mean,
yeah, it's a real movie. Today, tonight, and tomorrow, we rendezvous
with every Titan and pretend we got Lewis Pullman in there, I think. Did I catch him?
Weirdly, I'm in a weird spot with Wes. Huge fan. Did not really care for Asteroid City.
Ooh, I loved it.
on the lesser end of my West. I loved kind of, French Dispatch, actually, honestly.
I kind of didn't care for either of them. I mean, I liked them, but it wasn't like, it didn't get me to those heights. I feel like I haven't gotten high off of Wes Anderson's Moonrise Kingdom.
Oh, man. I get high every time, baby.
Well, yes.
Well,
you mean every day or?
Well, I have a feeling this is the secret ingredient here is the addition of Michael Cera into
I'm interested.
This universe. Also, is that Richard Ayoade? Has he worked with him before?
Yes.
Oh, wait. Grand Budapest was after Moonrise, right? I love that.
Yes.
One.
Yes.
Grand
that's
Budapest
after.
Is fantastic, too. And I really love all of his movies except for Isle of Dogs, which I actually really dislike. And I'm just okay with Asteroid. I want to go back to it, but that's kind of where I'm at.
I recognize yeah. I could see that.
Yeah.
I like that we got like a Wes Anderson fighter jet. This yeah, so I'm sure. very excited to see how big this world is.
The stepping over him to keep the elevator going is very Wes Anderson, and the fact that it's Michael Cera doing that move, I don't know, I'm pretty cool.
It's nice to see a Cera come back. You know, he's been gone for a little bit.
Yeah. Odd. I'm pretty sure. This is coming out basically around the same time that Asteroid did, same time of year. And I wonder now if this is their, like, sort of the end of May. That's where we'll put Wes Anderson movies. Right.
By the way, some people in the chat were asking us our thoughts on the Naked Gun trailer. I just want to quickly say, on one of our episodes, I think it was maybe The Commuter, over 5 years ago, I or someone said Liam Neeson would make sense as that role. So you're welcome.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say, Eric, you weren't a fan of the trailer, though.
I wasn't really that much of a fan of the trailer because it's a Frank Drebin that is like great at his job versus
like
being a klutz and just knocking. You know, I felt like they're trying to it both ways. Like, it's still a badass Liam Neeson movie, but you're also doing slapstick comedy. But I felt like the original was maybe more my tone.
Him in a skirt doesn't really do much for me. Like, show me him being an actual buffoon. Like, that's what I want to see.
Right. You know? And the Mission Impossible face masks, too. I feel like maybe it's a little too much, but I'm curious. I'm still curious. I'm going to see it. I'm going to see Phoenician, Scheme. I'm going to see Tron. I'm excited to get back to the movies, folks.
Hey, the movies are back, man. Mm-hmm. I will say about the Naked Gun, two things that really got me in the trailer. One, Frank, like, ascending out of a Girl Scout.
Yeah.
Girl's body was very funny and kind of like body horror weird, so that got me. But also when they're doing the like we're looking at like the hallway of fallen cops and whatever, and like, because like Neeson is playing Frank Drebin Jr. or whatever, they cut to this dude looking at fucking a picture of OJ Simpson, and the guy just turns the camera giving a like man kind of look. I was fucking howling.
That joke gets me because not only is it Neeson is Frank Drebin Jr., which is a stupid idea, but like, I think Paul Walter Hauser is supposed to be George Kennedy's son also. Like, we're really like, we're heightening up how stupid the idea is. Like, what if it was his son? Like, what if everyone was someone's son?
Yeah. And what if the character of Nordberg actually did decapitate his girlfriend and a waiter? Because if we're blending those worlds with that joke, I'm sorry.
I guess we'll have to see. But I mean, that is the kind of, that's the most Naked Gun joke I feel in the entire trailer. Yes. That like coming out, it's a fourth wall. It's a self-referential to our known reality. Like, you know, that got me. So we'll see. But only so many trailer segment slots here. But yeah, big question mark on that. The McFarlane of it all is what kind of has me whatever. But I will check that out. All right, fellas, we got three things to blow through here. Review wise, let's get talking about Jared Hess's box office smash, Minecraft, or excuse me, a Minecraft movie.
Yes. Thank you.
Now, I want to ask about, so Chris, you saw this, Steve and I saw it together. Chris, how was your audience? Because we caught it. It was a bunch of like tweens and younger, and I have to say, everybody incredibly well behaved.
Well, yes. Cameron Ripley kept his cool, and I'm very happy to. But we do need to talk about something that is internet adjacent about this. This hasn't happened in a while. Did everybody hear what happened this weekend with this movie? Not just the 157 a big number on the scoreboard. Did everybody know the other news?
No. I love this. You're doing the Jay Leno. Do you hear about this?
There's a work print that came out this weekend as well of this movie with different jokes and different timing.
Really?
And like all a lot, and the graphics aren't fixed. Like they've been put in on both the blue sky and the Nazi site. They've been doing both of them, and you can see them on both those sites. And it's wild to see, because like a lot of it is, it kind of looks cooler because there is such degraded effects and all the textures look different. But it is amazing to me that, like, remember when everybody saw like X-Men Origins Wolverine?
Yes.
And everybody was like, the reason that thing tanked was because of the work print. This thing was work print proof. This thing had the work print out there ready to go. And people were like, no. I'm still going to the theater to see this thing. And that's because I think the difference, and this is the difference between Minecraft and Fortnite, is like Minecraft, you still have a lot of early dads who played that shit when it first came out.
Yeah.
Like that people who are just like maybe like 5-year-olds or less, who are like now, like you can get all the demographics. You can get the super young ones, the teens, and like the 20 to and 30-year-olds. Like you can get all the way up there.
Yeah, my little brothers who are now in their early to mid 20s played that as kids, like, you know, and that's how I found out about it, when they were like 5 and 7 trying to show me what this thing was, and I still didn't get it.
Sure.
But like it's just wild that it's been going on for this long.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And it's still as relevant. Huge. You know, the movie itself, the Jared Hess of it all is the reason the movie almost worked for me. And I'm not even a Jared Hess fan. I don't like Napoleon Dynamite so much, although it makes there are parts that make me laugh, and that's what makes this work, is that like there's the beginning, it's Jared Hess kind of a movie of like this loser town thing and like weirdo stuff, like the gym teacher is kind of funny, and then like,
dude, the gym teacher gave me some of the biggest laughs of the movie.
Yeah.
Yes. And then we just get into a Minecraft thing, which it's clear he either doesn't care about or doesn't really understand, and it's just like, what are the specifics here? They are exactly, and then everybody claps, and that's kind of.
Well, that's why you have Steve there to tell you what to do and to like explain around the movie, and you have Jack Black, which I've always said, big boy energy. So he is going to excite people. He's going to bring people in for all of this explanatory nonsense. So I understand exactly why you ask him, and also I think the a Minecraft movie is the Jared Hess thing. Nobody knew how to actually turn this actual narrative of the game into a movie. There was like, unless you make Castaway or something like that, like you're not going to do that for a kid's movie. You're not going to do it for a kid's movie. That's not going to happen. So what you do is you have, you know, big guys who you will almost always see at like the Nickelodeon Awards, like Jason Momoa, Jack Black, guys who have big energy and who can talk to teens still. Like, you have them working together, and those, like, that's what I think the energy came from. And also, I agree with you completely, Steve. It's Jared Hess. Jared Hess is like, there's some sincere Jared Hess energy to this.
By the way, Chris,
it's,
you know,
not
what,
all algorithms.
You know what Castaway could have been called? It could have been called a FedEx movie.
It could be. They could have done that.
Is all over that movie. That's a FedEx commercial.
They open with it.
Even though their planes crash sometimes, but whose doesn't?
So Jack Black is, you know, stuck in the Minecraft world for years, and he's so sad about it. He's like, what if I use rope and a hoop? And he just puts it together on the table, comes out as a boxy noose, puts it on the tree on top of a mountain, and, you know.
Sure.
That could be something. Yeah, I think what happened was Jared Hess was just going around. He was making this movie about a Boise, Idaho total loser who was like this former video game champion in the 80s, is still riding that fucking thing into his small business that he's running in town, you know, still has like the jacket. I mean, like, I was so engrossed in that story, and then like It's as if someone knocked on the door and was like, excuse me, package for Mr. Hess. And it was like, Warner Brothers has updated your script. Just a few notes. And then like, it just turned into a Minecraft movie. And he was like, oh, I'm making a Minecraft movie now. Like, yeah. I will 100% watch a fucking Garrett the Garbage Man movie with Jason Momoa. Like, I said this on Letterboxd. Pretend all the Minecraft stuff never happens to that character, or set it like before the events of the Minecraft film. I don't give a fuck. Like, that dude without the Minecraft, that shit was entertaining. All the stuff in the school, like we said, the gym teacher, it, like, hysterical stuff going on. And then like the Minecraft stuff, which the kids were eating up, and that was like great to hear them like having such a great time in the theater, because I was sitting there like, hey, little kids, look, you can have fun at the movies. Isn't this great? So that's all cool. I'm not going to fault it for that. But that shit just wasn't. As soon as that happened, I was like, ah, right. Now I guess and Steve, you can attest to this. I left the theater for like 10 minutes to go get a beer and some Milk Duds. Like, I was like, okay, now we're fucking venturing to the library of who gives a shit.
Yeah.
Bathroom break.
Well, because I mean, the whole mythology of it is not, you're doing that probably Marvel, you know, Marvel-esque kind of thing where it's like, we're having a little bit of fun with it, and like it turns into that thing where we're just joking about, like, we're like, and then there's conveniently placed things right here, like where we're getting meta with how the script is going to work. And it's like, should I care about this or not? Like, that's kind of where I always kind of get if it's a fantasy world, like, build it for me, as opposed to like knocking it down with a cheap joke and then I have to continue to kind of care. And also, like, Andrew, you agree with me on this, we talked about it. It has the least care for its female characters in a movie that I've seen for quite some time.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, Danielle Brooks.
And Danielle Brooks and Emma Myers.
Yes.
From,
are so sidelined. And Danielle Brooks is great on Peacemaker. I don't know much about Emma Myers, but I at least really liked Danielle Brooks. And I'm like, oh, she's going to do something funny. It's like, they just put them in another movie that you're not watching. And then, like, at the end, they're in the finale because they're in the finale.
I mean, literally, they turned Danielle Brooks into, like, the mother character. Like, she comes in to mother the two, like, lost children because Jack Black and Jason Momoa are, like, you know, punching their dicks at each other and yelling at one another.
Really?
It is a weird setup. It's a weird setup of, like, they're orphaned, and you're supposed to believe, I guess, that this Emma Myers is, like, old enough to be this caretaker. And I mean,
I guess
if
you're 19 or 18 or whatever.
The actress was born in 2002, so it works, I guess. But, like, I was just sitting there, like, this feels to me, I mean, she's very, like, young on screen. And, like, it just felt like it was two little kids living in a house together. And I was like, this is some, like, YA novel or something like that. Also, the boy who plays the brother there, this kid, Sebastian Hansen. I mean, fine screen presence, whatever, in the Minecraft movie. Dude looks exactly like Screech from Saved by the Bell. Exactly like Screech from Saved by the Bell. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Eric, you would have had to bail out of this on just because of the
DBS.
Levels. Yes, the levels of DBS are quite.
Yes. And I mean, it's also fair. Like, kind of rich to be like, creativity really matters when you buy our product. But you can be creative when you buy our product. It's all about creation in our product.
I guess it's DSB, right? Disgusting.
Disgusting
shit
boy.
DSBs. Yeah. Sorry about that. I was thinking of something else on my mind.
I mean, please, Chris.
I mean, I see that, Steve, but I also like it's his video game. Like, it's video games in general. Like, as because it's Garrett Garbage Man is also stuck in his old place. And so is, you know, they're all stuck in these video games. It's not just the one from this, which I did appreciate that it was.
And people are in the chat are talking about, that this reminded them of Pixels, which it clearly does, the whole Peter Dinklage story, it's much better than that, because it's all from King of Kong. It's the Billy What's-His-Face story from King of Kong. We're just doing that's what this movie's doing. That's what that movie's doing. It's a great documentary that people are still watching, and it's a funny enough story to set things with.
And it's just funny, though, right? Because, like, now that I'm thinking about it, like, Momoa is the MVP of the movie. There's no arguing that, as far as I see it. He's the best part. And wouldn't it stand to reason, like, he's this video game champ character, this, that, and the other thing. He should just be the Steve, right? Because it's like him and Jack Black are kind of fighting with each other the whole movie, and it's kind of just the same character.
It's redundant. It's entirely redundant to have both.
Yeah.
Right. And again, like, I think it's because, it's just, we were trying to do, and like, the Jack Black of it all is the Jack Black of it all, right? He's just going to do
It's too
just singing in the songs and epic deliveries, and it's like I just want you to do something else.
But that's that. There's but those are two different sides. Like Momoa's whole thing is that he's a cool guy and he doesn't let his emotions out. Jack Black's whole thing is he lets all of his emotions out and is big about everything.
Yeah, but Chris, they give the first like 25 minutes to Momoa's character and his backstory, and it sets it as like this is the dude you're gonna follow, and then they find Jack Black kind of like a Robin Williams Jumanji kind of thing, like. Living in this world for so long, and then it like yes they're on opposing sides, but it's just it's a fucking 40-50 year old guy yelling about video games, you know what I mean? Like just give me one of those fuckers. I didn't need both of them. We got to move on. We're getting close to the top of the hour here. We got stuff to get to, including last night's, this will be spoiler free folks, last night's finale of Mike White's The White Lotus season 3. How is everybody feeling on the season overall, if you watched,
I liked it overall. I think the ending was a little almost anticlimactic because I feel like that's exactly how I saw it going in my head, so I didn't right. do much for me.
What do you think, Steve?
I think it's the best finale they've had, honestly. I wasn't crazy about last season's finale. I think this is the best season. I like the cast the most. Last season was okay until the ending. I thought the Jennifer Coolidge stuff at the end with the Tom Hollander. Tom Hollander was too big for this show. It was too like, you know, weird and like spy-esque and whatever. This felt like even all the Walton Goggins stuff, like even though there's violence in it, it was more grounded. It felt like real to me. So it just, I really like the way they finish the Piper storyline. I like that turn a lot. I think it shows the importance of soaking your dishes. If you're not gonna do the dishes, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to do the dishes every night, but just soak your dishes, people. Then everybody knows that there's at least some dishwashing in there, and they have to wash it out before they use it.
Mm-hmm. I was disappointed at the lack of putting shit away before you go to bed. You fucking pigs. You dishes. Fucking pigs.
Soak, soak, soak. If you're doing the dishes, soak. If you're a Mormon, soak.
Mm-hmm. I will say I'm fine with it. I wasn't blown away, and I don't know if like because it's just the third of this. I was kind of like, okay, cool. Everything's sort of settled the way I thought it was going to. I think, again, no spoilers. I think our favorite North Carolinian family gets off a little easy there.
Too light,
but it's
yes.
Yeah. I think the other way it looked like it was going to go would have been a little more White Lotus-y to me, but that's okay. Overall, I thought the performances were great. I feel like this time around, the bummer was, and I think I saw some reviews pointing this out, but like the staff stuff this season wasn't that great.
I agree with that.
Right. We didn't, we don't really resolve Guy Took and Mook's thing that much, right? Like that's kind of left hanging a little bit, right?
I guess it's kind of up in the air to not spoiler it too much. I guess you'd have to say it's a little up in the air. Yeah.
I will say that the big sin of this is you got, I don't know the actor's name or even the character's name. The German guy is money in the bank, and every time he comes on the screen I'm laughing, and you don't know what to do with him. Or
that's what's his face from a Zone of Interest.
Yes, and underutilized. I thought he's very funny.
Christian Friedel. Yeah.
Yes.
And I mean, what's crazy is like his last little moment in the season, we were laughing hysterically at it.
Sure.
And like you kind of just wanted more, that you realize like, oh shit, like this dude is really great. Even when, and this is a bummer that has nothing to do with last night's episode, but like they have the whole thing about one of his ongoing jokes is he wants to be the entertainment one night. Mm-hmm. And when it finally happens, like two episodes ago or whatever it was, and you like don't even see it. And I don't know if that was like supposed to be the joke or what, but like, you build something like that up. I got to see more than like two notes of it. You know,
I agree with that for sure.
The Goggins stuff with Scott Glenn and everything. The detail there at the end that is given, again, no spoilers, I was kind of like, well, now that's to have nothing done with it.
Yeah.
A little.
I was a little disappointed with the Goggins trajectory. I like him in the show. I like everyone in the show. I think everyone did a great job. It was a lot of fun. Some people in the chat saying Carrie Coon should get a Emmy Award, and I agree. She was really good in this.
Yes. Her big monologue. Yeah, wow, huh? She's fucking one of the best to ever do it, man. I'll tell you right now.
I really like the ending. Chris, you haven't talked.
I mean, I was very hit and miss with this. I didn't watch every episode. I watched most of the finale. I did a little skipping around, but I watched most of it. I think a lot of this story was told in the first season, and I haven't seen this season and the last season. I haven't seen enough variations for me to be like, oh, wow, you're making a new point now. And like, it's just been kind of the same point over and over again. And I'm like, that's a it's a point I'd like people to know and I like to people to remember. But if you're going to keep doing this, I need like big changes, and like this just does not lend itself to that. Like, it's fine that people like it and like it that like the changing destination is the thing that changes, but like to me it just didn't change enough. And also I think just visually it's not that interesting. I think it's a probably as far as HBO shows especially, I think it's one of their least interesting visual shows. It's very good looking, I will say that, but as far as what they're actually showing, I don't think is very interesting.
I think the Piper stuff versus, say, even the Sydney Sweeney like stuff is like, oh, look at these spoiled entitled kids. Mm-hmm. I think her trajectory of like really trying to do something and then where it ends, I think is to me an interesting way to do it. It seems more grounded. I think Parker Posey was fucking amazing this season.
Oh yes.
Do you think she's gonna be banging bongos, shave her head, banging bongos in Times Square? She's is a so, line that I'll think about forever.
So good.
Popper, no. Why don't you just get the wine? Wait, hold on. Get the wine, which is such a great fucking thing.
Sorry.
How about her in another season of White Lotus? She leaves that guy.
Dude, Eric, funny enough, man, I had that same exact thought this morning. I was like, wouldn't it be rad if she became like a holdover? Because it is such a, you know, she made it such an amazing cartoon character in that way.
The Natasha Rothwell story I thought was pretty weak overall, but I actually like where it ended. But that was like in terms of holdovers, maybe Parker Posey, because she's so great, but I would like it just, I like the show because it's a character study. It's like, hey, here's this group of characters, this group of actors you want to watch, and people who break through, like what's her face who plays Chelsea. I'll never know her name, or I will, because she's going to break through huge. Like, these are new Patrick Schwarzenegger, another guy that just broke through this season.
Chelsea is like, Amy Lou Wood. Amy Lou Fellow Wood,
Sex
fellow,
Education.
Fellow Purchase alum.
No, that's the other one. That's Piper as the Purchase alum.
Oh, really? Yes, that that's why she was so good in the show.
That's
exactly.
Right. Amy Lou Wood as Chelsea is also really fucking good.
Yeah, you know, I just like watching these actors work. I'm mostly on board with Mike Bite stuff, so I'm into it.
My whole thing with this season, and I think maybe it sort of speaks to what you were saying, Chris, about how it's not shot very interestingly or whatever. I think the reason why going from one into two felt like such a breath of fresh air and like, wow, like these are the days of TV, is because they switched the location enough. Like, Italy is not tropical, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So
like, you got back to Thailand, which is a much more tropical kind of climate, and it just started looking like Hawaii, kind of. And I think they did even film some of it in Hawaii too. But like, I feel like if and four is happening, like, put it in a fucking like skiing chalet or something.
Yeah,
so like everything we have to look at, like your entire visual storytelling language has to be different because you're just in that much different of a space. I feel like one and two linked by their location, it just made it kind of look like, all right, like, we're back on the beach. It's nice out. You know what I mean? That was just me.
Yes. I think you're getting to, like, I also, I'll be honest, I'm not crazy about Mike White's writing. Like, what sure. I like about it is what Steve said. I think, like, what's good about the show is that they get a good batch of actors to come on and have fun. And that's enough. I think that's plenty enough. And, like, I'm glad Carrie Coon is getting a fucking check. But, like, I don't think he really presses his characters as much as he should. I don't think he's interested in the actual roots of a lot of the issues he wants to play with. And maybe that's not what he wants to do. That's completely possible. But to me, that shows that you actually have a timidity, that you don't want to go that far and see what that brings up. Because it might bring up something genuinely new.
By the way, right. Speaking of not going far enough, Chris, just real quick, because I was behind, I caught up on the show just this past week, and I had heard about a certain three-way thing, and I was gearing up yeah. for some real stuff, and it was underwhelming. People hyped that up like crazy.
Hey, dude, if I jacked off my brother, I'd be looking for the next exit as well.
Sure. No, I think so.
I just think you should have done more to your brother, Steve.
I do think that just one point I want to make, and I know we're going long. I think a part of like the dissection and the ingestion of this show is the lostification of how we talk about television these days.
Yep. Everything, thank you.
And the mystery. Like, I think the mystery is the least interesting thing of the show every single season.
Even the first one did too.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, to me, and anyway. if you watch it trying to sniff that out week to week, you're watching it. Not only are you watching it wrong, you're ruining it for yourself.
Yes, exactly. And you're expecting all this stuff, and you're wanting. Oh, what is? I saw some people being like, "Oh, do you think Locke even took the drugs before the threesome?" Like, of course he did, because they showed it. And it's like you're just trying to create a fan theory. To create a fucking fan theory,
yes.
Because you want breadcrumbs everywhere for everything, and sometimes stories are just stories, and that's actually most times stories are just stories. It's good.
It's an authority thing, isn't it? It's in a way of being like, I noticed this, and maybe this is true, and now I can build an army who like also think like I do, like maybe this is true, and then I can start a little business for myself on social media. On it, there you go. It's an I'm saying this, by the way.
But we don't traffic in fan.
No, I know. Show, I know.
I'm glad. You know, look, hey, we're just talking about shows and talking about stuff, which is totally it's all valid. But I mean, like, it is the fan theory world of all of this shit that kind of drives me crazy.
And then when you get to the other side of it, and it hasn't done the thing your fan theory expected it to, that's I'm saying all these people do this, but a lot of those people then turn that wrongness onto the show's fault.
Yes.
Like, this was bad because they didn't do the crazy thing I thought they did, which was 100% lost. The lostification, great way to put it, Steve.
And I'm going to make Andrew's face red right now. This is what's keeping me from Severance. And I know it's not Severance's fault, but just all of this baggage that show carries. Yep. I'm like, do I even want to fucking dip my toe into this world? And I know it's, again, not the show's fault, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's just something you'll have to wrestle with, Steve.
For the rest of my life.
Not really much I can do about it, dude. But yes, while a lot of people are talking about the White Lotus and Minecraft, really quickly, here's something nobody's talking about. This is Secret Movie. Big letdown here.
Wow, yes. This is a Michael Day movie, not Michael Bay movie. A director named Michael Day did Fog of War. Okay? Yes. This stars, Andrew, you joined me with this when you watched this as well.
I did, yes.
You got John Cusack in the mix wearing a hat.
Dude, a hat that he does not take off in any of the five scenes that he's in the movie.
On text, Andrew coined John Cuse hat, which I really like. I really like that a lot. But not much happens in this movie. It's about a wounded veteran coming back from the war, as you know it. And then he's wandering around a farm that John Cuse hat owns. And he's really, really mad that an immigrant works there. There's this guy, he's like, I'm from Belgium. And he's like, yeah, you fucking Nazi piece of shit.
Sure.
He's like, really going at this poor immigrant. And slight spoiler, they, you know, not everything is as it seems. It's one of those movies, right?
No, and the twist, like, as such, like, when you get to it, you're just like, oh, okay, that's the movie? And, like, yeah, it's... You know, it's not a recommend by any stretch of the imagination, but I was genuinely surprised at what this turn is. Should say also, though, not only is it a secret movie, it's a secret John Cusack and Mira Sorvino movie, like inside the secrecy. They're barely in the movie.
Yeah.
They play the married couple, but it's basically the movie is led by Brianna Hildebrand from she played Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Yeah.
All those Deadpool movies. It's her, but with like flowing long hair and in like period costume and stuff. It was very weird.
She could walk out of my house. I wouldn't know who's, if she didn't have that haircut. I'd be like, who are you?
Yep. No, exactly. And then this other dude who's the other co-lead, this Jake Abel guy. He was a Percy
Jake
Jackson
Abel.
Person.
More like a Jake Unable to act.
Yeah. He was also in Malignant for a fashion Love and Mercy. He played Mike Love. So like he's kind of been around and stuff, but it's the two of them doing this espionage mystery. And then like Cusack comes in here and there, Sorvino comes in here or there. He's not taking that hat off though. Like this, this very hat never leaves his head the entire movie. And he's in like different scenarios with the hat every time.
By the way, could you put that poster up again real quick?
Sure.
We never get whatever that shore is, whatever that, I don't know where that is in this movie, but it's not here.
No clue. Yeah, there's not this movie. The movie that they're advertising in this poster looks way fucking cooler than what Fog of War actually turned out to be.
It was an okay for a rainy day movie because it's just literally like I said, it's a guy wandering around a farm antagonizing the help.
I like that.
It's also like not a high budgeted movie, so everything is shot and looks very cheap.
And the immigrant he's going after is the guy from Son of Saul, of all things.
Oh yes, he's the titular Saul of Son of Saul.
Yes,
which it's very weird anytime I see that dude not in a horrifying Holocaust movie.
Weird, very weird.
But that is gonna do it for this week, everybody. We did go a little long. We had a lot to jam in today, but thanks so much for tuning in, sticking with us. Of course, we got a lot coming up this week in the WHMU, real quickly, of course, tomorrow on We Hate Movies. Look out for this one, you guys. Back to comic book land. We're talking Punisher War Zone. This was a hell of a lot of fun to revisit this movie. Hell of a lot of fun to talk about. You can catch it commercial free, of course, on the Patreon. Patreon.com/WeHateMovies. But it was, hey, folks, it's us talking about a Marvel movie and all of us more or less liking it to some degree or another. So
there you go. A Marvel Knights movie, very importantly.
Well, pardon me. Right. Yeah.
After Marvel Dark.
That's K-N, you see. Very clever. And then also this week on Thursday, the explosive conclusion of the Daddy Wars on Noah 210. The picture of Luke Perry there kind of gives you a hint of what we're putting down, but
it's not a campfire he's in front of, folks.
No. but it does smell like someone's making hamburgers.
Yes, it was a magnificent episode to take in, as is the Melrose Place, and thus made a magnificent episode of Melrose 210 that you can catch later this week, Thursday, on patreon.com/WeHateMovies. But that's it. That's all we got, folks. We're going long. Thanks so much for sticking with us and tuning in.
Thank you.
Have a great week. We'll see you next time. Until then, I've been Andrew Jupin,
Steven Sadek,
Eric Siska,
Chris Gabin.
Adios. Bye-bye.